The end of the world is coming.
It was predicted thousands of years ago.
See ya!
A reverse polarity sunspot.
Goodbye.
There is no such thing as death. Life is only a dream.
This is the end. Beautiful friend.
Well, it seems that the world is not going to be ending today. At least it seems that way to me. But all the hype over the Mayan prediction has gotten a lot of you thinking about what you would do if today was your very last day on Earth.
Hi, this is Laurel from Staten Island. Before the world hypothetically ends, I'd like to make one last dinner to eat with my family together in our home. We're so happy there. If it has to end, I'd be happy for it to end just like that.
Hey, this is Kent Davis from Edmond, Oklahoma. If I knew for a fact that the world would end tomorrow, I would go hang gliding today.
Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Tell us what you would want to do before it's all over. And while lots of people in the world are thinking about possible doomsday scenarios today, it actually got us thinking about something different, namely how it all started. Who are we and where did we come from? That is the question, right? It's a theory that's long been studied, and as recently as 1970, for some scientists, there was no single origin for modern humans. We evolved globally, all over the world, they thought. They accepted a view known as multi-regionalism, suggesting that human evolution took place seamlessly from Homo erectus to modern humans. But since then, the theories about the origins of modern humans have been revised and new ones have cropped up, like the out of Africa theory. Now, that one says that humans emerged rapidly in one small part of Africa, then spread to replace a whole bunch of other humans inside and outside of that continent. Well, Chris Stringer is someone with a theory of his own. Now, he's a researcher at the Natural History Museum in London and author of the book Lone Survivors: How We Came to Be the Only Humans on Earth. And this book offers a new theory on the origins of modern humans. It says that distinct humans coexisted and competed all across Africa. They exchanged genes and tools and behavioral strategies, and is here to talk about it with us right now. Chris Stringer, welcome to the program.
Pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you. Can you frame for us the evolution of modern humans as you describe it? There are lots of competing theories. I'm sure we'll talk about some of them here. What do you say is the pattern or the path from Homo erectus, let's say, to modern, intelligent, considerate humans that we have today?
So, in my view, we had this ancestral species, Homo erectus, which was widespread in the old world. It was in Africa. It was in Asia. Possibly also in Europe, and it did diversify. In the Far East, it carried on for a while, but in the Western part of the old world, it gave rise to some new species, and the one that we'll focus on is Homo heidelbergensis at this stage, Heidelberg man, so-called. That species was around about 500,000 years ago in Europe, Asia, and Africa, and in my view, from about 400,000 years ago, that species started to go in different evolutionary directions. North of the Mediterranean in Europe and Western Asia, it gave rise to the Neanderthals. Over in the Far East, it may have given rise to these people we know really only from their DNA, called Denisovans. And in Africa, it gave rise to Homo sapiens. I've realized increasingly that Africa is a huge place, that even there, the human populations were more diverse, that you had, if you like, different levels of modernity, even living alongside each other in adjoining regions. And so instead of modern humans originating just in one place, we actually are a composite. If you like, modern behavior, modern anatomy kind of coalesced from different African populations to become what we know as modern humans.
Most of us, Chris, can't think about the evolution of human beings without thinking back to that old cartoon, you know, chimp walks a little more upright, and then Australopithecus, and then Homo erectus, and then a tall, upright man. And it's of course, a conceit. We have to reject that now. But when you started to think about this in a new way, that humans are a composite, what was your moment? Who are we now, that we think we know some different things about where we came from? Who are we?
Well, yes, we are somewhat of a patchwork rather than this pure African origin. So the vast majority of our DNA, the vast majority of our behavior, the vast majority of our anatomy still had a recent African origin. That's still the big picture, if you like. But when we home in to the whole story, we see that we do have a small percentage of input of genes from so-called archaic humans. So it's not entirely a recent African origin, but that's still, if you like, the big picture, but not the whole story. And so even the term extinction in the case of Neanderthals and Denisovans is a relative term. They did not go completely extinct. Their DNA, or bits of their DNA, survives in us today.
Melded into the species that we are today.
That's right. That's right.
And have you ever gotten any sense of what it would have been like 400,000 years ago to have different strains of human developing differently? If I was from tribe A and I was somehow, maybe it was difficult in those days, but hiked or walked or was somehow transported to the Denisovans to meet them, would we have been drastically different? Would we have recognized one another, either, of course, physically, but technologically?
I think that, say, 400,000 years ago, those populations, us, Neanderthals, Denisovans, were only beginning to diverge. So the differences then would have been very small indeed. But by the time we get to 50,000 years ago, then there really are some quite striking differences, certainly physically, and I would argue probably behaviourally as well, although that's become a bit more blurred lately. So I think that, yes, if we come even to the last 50,000 years, there were not only the ones we've talked about now, modern humans, Neanderthals, Denisovans. There was probably this strange creature living over on the island of Flores, Homo floresiensis, nicknamed the Hobbit.
I wanted to ask about the Hobbit, yes, and I need to know how this fits in.
Well, okay, that probably requires a whole interview on its own, but that may well, I mean, opinions are very strongly divided on that one, but the majority of people do regard it, I think, as a distinct and really quite primitive human species. Where it came from is the mystery, and I'm kind of veering to the view which some people have got, that this could be a really ancient lineage of humans that had somehow got all the way over to Indonesia and survived in isolation perhaps for more than a million years on the island of Flores. Potentially it was also present, or its lineage was present, on other islands in that region. So there's a whole unknown evolutionary history for that creature, and we don't know really what its relationship was to modern humans. Did modern humans ever meet this creature? Were we involved in its extinction? Those are completely unanswered questions.
Well, Chris, I wouldn't dream of cheapening your fascinating theories and the science that you do, but let's do a little pseudoscience. Just humor me. Today is the day that the Mayan calendar says we're all done for. Now, Eric von Dyneken is listening, my friend. What do you have to say, having studied the last 400,000 years of human history, now that today's the very last one?
Yeah, that's certainly a big question to end with, isn't it? Okay, I did see a nice cartoon where a Mayan guy had a stone slab, and he's speaking to the head Mayan, and he's saying to him, "I've run out of stone at the year 2012. Do you think it matters?" So, you know, maybe that puts a perspective on it. I obviously think that we are going to get through this particular crisis. That's not to say there isn't a challenging future for humanity. There are probably too many of us on the planet, and we are faced, I think, with major environmental changes. So our future is threatened, but I don't think it's that immediate a threat. And to some extent, we have some control over those threats. Let's hope we can deal with it in the future, and there will be a human species in the longer term.
Chris Stringer, author of Lone Survivor, How We Came to Be the Only Humans on Earth, and research leader in human origins at the Natural History Museum in London. Well, we've been asking you all this hour what you would do if it were your very last day on Earth.
Greetings, everybody. This is Paul from Jersey City. I would like to hear Edith Piaf sing Je ne regrette rien, which means I regret nothing.
No regrets. What a good way to go. Give us your take at 8778-MY-TAKE. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Have a great weekend, everyone.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. The Takeaway is produced by WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.